5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello, is this Paul the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the shyest podcast in the world. It's the Shy Life Podcast.
With me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy.
138. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Shy Life Podcast. This is me, Shy Yeti, or Paul, and I'm here to bring you another episode of the show. Now this one, well, this time we're going to be discussing pets. Now you often hear that people say they're cat lovers or they're dog lovers, but there are plenty of people who have both. And there are plenty of people who love cats who might be allergic to them, or love dogs but are allergic to them, or don't like pets at all. But while we certainly won't be catering for people who don't like pets at all, this is an episode that's definitely about pets. But we are going to be mainly talking about cats this time, mainly because a lot of the people who contribute to this show are cat lovers. So we're going to be hearing from my mum, my good friend Nick Goodman, and also my friends Toby and Lisa, all about their cats, and many of the cats my mum talks about I grew up with. So I'm quite happy to do a show about dogs in the future. I've never owned a dog, but I have known some dogs. It always upsets me a bit when people say, you know, they have to be one or the other, because I grew up with cats, but I've never hated dogs. I've had some bad experiences of dogs. I was nipped by a dog when I was in my pushchair when I was quite young. And as a paperboy, I was chased by Jack Russells and, again, nipped by quite a big dog right in front of their owner. I was so shocked I didn't say anything. But later on in my life, I met some nice dogs. So it's sad when people kind of outright say, you know, I hate cats, I hate dogs. I mean, they're gorgeous, beautiful, lovely animals. They're not to be hated. I could sit and watch a dog or a cat, you know, all day. Much more interesting than a TV programme. So, anyway, I'll shut up because we have got to run the theme music. No, we've still not done that. I've been too busy chatting away. So, anyway, right.
What's going to happen today?
Oh my God, it's enormous. It's the Shy Life Podcast.
It says, I this world.
Darling.
I ask for pies, that's all I ask for, pies.
Snot, 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 snot.
Oh dear, I hadn't thought of that. Staring at the
light. Hey, that Yeti, he's crazy.
That's cool.
Those poor listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh dear, oh dear.
Well, there you go. Yes, well, we'll be hearing from the regulars, of course, as well as our guests, and well, you can guess what the theme of this episode will be poetry wise. Yes, I've written many poems about cats, so presuming I haven't read them all already, I'm going to try and find some that I can read you in this episode. But yeah, as I was saying, it is sad. Even when you've had a bad experience with a cat or a dog, you can still have good experiences with other, not, you know, one bad experience with one bad cat or one bad dog. That's, you know, it's like meeting a nasty person and then thinking, right, I'm never going to interact with another person ever again because every person must be awful. I mean, personally, I would probably rather spend my time with a cat or a dog than a human. They're much more interesting. I mean, I can just hang around with Dealey all day and he just does things that makes me laugh. I mean, you know, every pet owner thinks that their cat or dog are the best cat and dog, and that's because for them, well, it's true, they are. I've only ever owned one cat of my very own, although I've lived in a family that had many cats. But, you know, so even some of the lovely cats that I grew up with, I'm always going to think of Dealey as being, you know, my favourite. I mean, I guess if Dealey had been a boring cat, because you do get cats or dogs that, you know, if you have a few at one time, perhaps, you know, we had one or two cats when I was growing up that were nice, but they didn't quite have the personality. And I'm never sure whether the fact that Dealey is the the only cat in the household makes him try to be more human. So my experience with him is quite different to some of the cats that have been more in a pack, because my parents have always had pretty like 4 or 6 cats. So it is different because they have to interact with each other. But whereas with Dealey, he's trying to control us. I mean, he's always licking us, which is basically him trying to tag us to say, right, these people are my belongings. In fact, this morning I went to have a shower, and I came out of the shower and I was getting myself dry. I sat down and he shot across the room, stood on the arm of the chair and licked me, and like as if to say, well, you just washed off the tag that I put. You people aren't going to know who you belong to now. So I just sat there and let him lick my arm, and then I held out my other arm. So do you want to do this one too? And he, you know, he didn't lick my whole arm, but he just licked a little patch of it, and that's him saying, right, Shyetty, you are my belonging. If you will insist on leaving the house, I want people to know you belong to me. And I absolutely, you know, respect that. I absolutely belong to Dealey. He doesn't belong to me. I don't lick him. So he licks me. I am his belonging. Despite the fact that I provide all his food. And, Toby does the lion's share of the work these days, I must say, because Dealey is such a big fan of Toby. So, anyway, I'm waffling. I will try and get Dealey to comment later in the episode. We've got lots to get through anyway. And, so whether you like cats or hate cats, you know, I hope you're willing to at least consider that not all cats are the same. All I can say is this episode we're going to be talking mainly about cats. But if anybody wants to send in any comments about their cats or their dogs, you know, I'd like to do an episode about dogs, but I don't have a dog in my house like I have a cat. So if you want to include your dogs or your stories about your dogs in this show, please do send me some clips to record some comments, or write to me and you can record a little story, or you can write me an email and I'll read it out. But, you know, I'm absolutely up for a dog episode of the Shy Life podcast. But I have more access to people in my life who like cats. So that's why we're starting with cats. But, let's go for it. And I'll be interested to know what Ink has to say about cats. I don't think they have cats in space. They have things. But not specifically cats. Anyway, moving on. I'll shut up. I promise. I might be back later though, so.
So that counts as 1, and I had 7, didn't I? So I count in this space and advance the number of squares indicated on the dice. So I've got to do 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Where do these go?
You buy those.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's like the buying station.
You can put them up with the money if you want.
Can you be 7 then, have you?
Yeah, so then...
What's that say?
Well, that's...
The type of cat.
That's
can you buy that for me?
A pair is subject to the consequence based upon which the token lands. The player then passes to the left. So you go next, Paul.
4.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4.
What's that?
That's $80. Tom.
You will buy it.
Who do you give that to then? The banker.
Yes.
Do you want to get a double go if I'd throw a double?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Yes, if you so anything, you can buy that if you want.
How much is it?
$110.
What's it called?
It's an Egyptian mao.
So does he get a card? Should he get a card from me if you buy something?
He's got a card.
I took it.
Did you?
Mm.
So that's what?
It's an Egyptian mao for $110.
Remember, there are colour families.
Family, yes. So you're going to look for orange. So can you find him here at the card, please?
Egyptian male.
Yeah, and it's orange.
here now talking to my mum about cats, and specifically about the cats of the Chandler household. Hello, Mum.
Hi. We've had about 20 cats, so apologies to any cats that I miss out or...
Well, I can help.
..and misinformed on. Go ahead.
If you can't think of all the names, you can always pause for a moment. No, don't laugh. Sorry, right, start. Who's your first cat? Did you ever have cats when you were growing up?
Not that I can remember. We had a dog, but your father had cats in his family, but that didn't affect us getting a cat because the first cat we ever had found us and insisted on finding us and as a new home. And we lived near a small river on a new forest called Hucklesbrook, so we called her Huckle. And she only had one good eye. She must have been about 8 years old, and it broke our hearts because we lived on the forest for about 6 months, and then we were going to move to our new home, a bungalow which we just bought in Branscombe, but unfortunately she had kidney problems and we had to have her put to sleep the day we moved. So it was very sad. We were looking so forward to taking her to her new home and seeing how she reacted. But there you go. And then our next... Shall I just ramble on?
Yes, yeah. Well, when I get to the ones I remember, I can chip in.
And then our next cat, we decided, well, if she liked us, although we were both out of work, we couldn't be so bad, so we got a kitten. And we called him Bramwell. But unfortunately, we let him out fairly early one morning and he got run over when he was about 6 months old. I think that it was early enough that the car, although we lived on a cul-de-sac, that the car had its lights on and he got dazzled by the lights. So we thought, well, we're not doing very well. What if we have two? So, no, I missed one out.
Oh.
The next one was Ricky.
Ricky Rocket, I've heard
Ricky
about him.
Ricky Rocket. He was lovely. He used to throw balls of screwed up paper and he'd race after them. He didn't quite bring them back to you, but we had lots. We had a very long lounge dining area and he used to love doing that. Now, he was about... We got him from Cats Protection or Blue Cross, I don't know which. And he was about 9 months old. An elderly couple had had him, and I think they found he was a bit too much of a Ricky Rocket. So anyway, we had him seen too, and he settled down as a lovely cat, and he was very careful on the road. Unfortunately, one day there were some workmen just a few doors down who were digging up the road, and we can only think that he dashed across the road to catch a bird. It was still the same place, still only a cul-de-sac, and unfortunately he met a car. So that wasn't a very good start with our cat family, and we thought we'd have one more attempt, and we decided to have two.
So we're talking about, because these two, I know who these two are, I think. And were they there before I came along? So we're talking about the early 70s now?
Yes, because we were in the other house. We moved before you came along. Yeah, that was Sam and Penny. Sam was black and white, and, well, Penny had originally been Benny, but she was very small, and we found when we took her to the vets that she had to become Penny. And we had them. That worked fine. They were cousins, actually. We got them from a farm, I think. And we took them to... We had a bigger bungalow built in Branscombe about 2 or 3 years later and moved with them. And we stayed there for about 2.5 years. And then had to move to Salisbury because your father got a new position in the company. And we're very sad to leave it, but it was too far for him to travel. So we moved to a small bungalow in Downton, on the edge of the New Forest, about 9 miles from Salisbury. And particularly Sam hated it. He really became quite ill because we'd had fields all around us, and he used to love going hunting in the fields at our previous bungalow. And he hated being in this pokey little place, and he wouldn't eat, and I got quite worried about him. But as soon we were having a bigger house built in Chartnell Saints, where we still are, this was 42 years ago, and as soon as we moved here, he was fine again. And I think we had them, I think Sam died at about 12, and Penny had a stroke, and we didn't think it was fair to keep her going. And that would have been in, because it was just before Graham was born.
Mm.
So
we're talking about the 80s now.
We're into the 80s.
So they had a good long. I remember.
So she must have been 16 to 17.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you'd come along, and we thought it'd be nice because you'd only known adult cats. So we thought it'd be nice when you got to about 4 and could be trusted not to
draw on the wall
or pull cats' tails.
Oh, do that.
We got a beautiful British blue, and not a pedigree cat, but she was
better than that.
And you decided you'd like to call her Poppy, which first choice was Primrose, but we decided we'd rather be out at night calling Poppy rather than Primrose.
I later, after a while, wanted to call her Pansy, because it was all to do with colours of the country life. Do you not remember that? I think after
Yes, I do. It was a Country Life picture. And you'd have fell over or something and hurt yourself. And to make you feel better, I said, you can choose your new cat's name. We're going to get a...
Yeah, but later on, after a while, I saw how nice pansies were, and I wanted to change her name.
To Pansy, yes. Yes, it was a Country Life edition with a field of red poppies. And we then, for our sins, decided we'd like another kitten, which was we regretted really, because she was one of a litter of 8 from a farm or a small holding, and she was very, very small. And we took her away from this family from her family, and she was always a nervous little thing. The others weren't unkind to her. Sam, Penny and Poppy were fine, but she always kept to herself, and we always regretted that we hadn't got one of her siblings to come with her, and we think she would have been happier. Now, in between, we've had some strays. We had.
But who was that one, then?
That was Panda.
Oh, Panda, but you've also got Marty.
Oh, yes, we had Marty in a lovely black and white tuxedo, as I think our American cousins call them, cat. And he got run over. Again, we're on a very quiet road here. But he didn't get run over. We think he got knocked by a lorry or something, because your father found him sort of lying in the gutter, but he wasn't, you couldn't see what... anything wrong with him. He was about 18 months old.
Then that's the last one that anything bad happened to him, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, we had Tigger until he was 13, and Ginger Cat, who decided at the age of about 7 months that he would come and live with us. How he got to us, we put up notices in the village and nobody claimed him.
He just wandered in through the cat flap.
Yes, he knew.
On a stormy day.
He knew. Well, night.
Stormy night, I mean, yeah. I was the one he met, I think.
Yes, Paul was very taken to him, and he stayed outside. We shut the cat flap so he couldn't come in, because your father said, well, it's not fair if he belongs to somebody. He should go back to them, but he stayed all night. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard this noise, and one of the water pipes had come apart in the loft. So I could hear this water. So he had to deal with this running water, and there was this mowing when he was still really only a kitten at the back door. I want to come in, I want to come in. So it was a night to remember. And then,
and also probably Graham and I wanted him to come in as well.
Then we had, well, sometime we had Ollie.
He was another stray.
He was a stray. He must have been quite old when he came in our garden, and we felt sorry for him because his owner had died. In fact, he'd had two cats, and we don't know what happened to the black and white one, but he was a rather sort of hermit type figure, and his relations obviously didn't try and round the cats up, or anyway they didn't get Ollie. We called him Ollie,
and this was in the 90s now.
And we had him for 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah,
he had a nasty abscess, and so that's why we actually took him in. I've already forgotten two very important
things. I know you have, so I remembered you've forgotten them.
Yes, Tom and Jez.
Yes.
Tom was very good, but he was head of the family. But if we let any cat stray or a youngster into the house, that was okay with Tom, and he was fine. But if any strange cat came in his garden, he was off like a shot to see him off. And he was quite a character.
If you were a human and you didn't like cats, then he'd make sure that he tried to do his best to change your view by spending as much time. Particularly if you had an allergy or something, he'd try and make sure that you... he'd spend time with you to make sure that things would be targeted to people who weren't that keen on cats.
He was ginger and white. I'm not sure whether she was his sister or not. Oh, yes, we got them from Winchester. That's right, she was a sister. There were three kittens, and I'm sure I would have ended up with the three if I couldn't have left one. One was a tabby. One was Tom, Ginger and White, and then there was a tortoiseshell. And we really wanted a tortoiseshell because we'd never had one. And a friend of your father's said, oh, you should have one because they're the most friendly and the most talkative of the cats. So I drove... We looked around at the advertisements, and I drove over to a place near Winchester and... picked up the two of them. Luckily the tabby had gone, as it would have been three, and put them in a cat basket, and then had to come all the way back, which was about a 20-mile drive, holding a magazine in front because their heads were so small, and I was afraid they were going to, particularly Tom, get their head stuck outside the mesh grill of the door. Yeah, I mean, in between, we had... I think the most we had at any one time was six.
Yeah.
So Poppy died when she was 17. Panda must have been about 13. Tigger was 13. So then we were getting down to just Tom and Jez.
And Jez was my girlfriend. Poppy was my second mother. She used to look after me if I cried.
Yes, and she used to leap on people's shoulders.
Oh, yes.
And one of the baby sisters, child sisters that used to come, Alex, had very long hair, and I heard this yell of anguish as Alex came to do some child sitting. She came round the side of the garage because Poppy was generous proportions, sat on her shoulder, tangled up in her long hair.
Yeah.
And
Jerry and I got on very well.
So then we decided that if we wanted to continue the family, have I missed anybody out? Is it now time for Barney and Emma?
Well, we had Pussles and Bobby when yes, Auntie Jessie died, because yes. They were her cats.
Yes, they were 10 when they came. And we had probably Pussles for about 3 years, and Bobby probably 5, something like that. So we had those in between. And then we decided to start. Tom was getting old, but he was still quite a feisty chap. So we got Barney and Emma, and Barney absolutely adored Tom. Yeah. And he was his surrogate dad. And so we must have had them for about 18 months together. So we eventually got down, because Jessie died about, she had kidney problems, she died about a year before Tom. So she didn't see too much of them. But Barney was nice, but he had a bit of a wicked streak. He'd sometimes be at the top of the garden and he'd see his sister in the garden. She was much smaller. She was a tortoiseshell. And he decided he was going to chase her. And then when he caught her, he was such a big lad, he used to give her a cuff and bowl her over. Poor little thing. So she didn't. She hissed if he came too near when as she got older, because it wasn't the way to treat a young lady at all.
I got on with Emma as well.
And then finally we decided Emma, we just had Emma, because Barney we had to have put to sleep when he was about 16, and Emma lived another year. But we just had one cat, because we thought it was unfair. She was an old lady to try and bring any more into the household. Well, that felt a bit empty, just having her. So then we decided, are we getting too old to have kittens? You would like just one more kitten. Well, two. It was only a month. I think it was even less than that. It was horrible being in the house. We got cat ornaments, cat pictures, cat photographs, cat everything, but not a live cat.
Well, you had Timbuktu.
It's true.
Who was another stray that had become living in the house.
Yes, he was an outdoor cat.
He was, but he's still here.
Yes, he's an outdoor cat, but he. Barney wasn't like Tom. He didn't take after his Uncle Tom. He wasn't going to have him in the house at all. And so he used to chase him off if he saw him in the house. Although Tim used to try and smuggle himself in and get on one of the beds in the bedrooms there without anybody knowing. But once Barney had died, of course, he had free rein, and he never troubled Emma. She was used to him being around. So he did come in more and more, and then particularly in the winter, he started to spend the nights.
He's got very long fur.
yes, he's... This summer, although he can come in, tends to come in the day, but we let him go out at night because he seems happier. It's not as warm outside as it is indoors.
And he originally arrived with his sister who...
Tabitha, who had a nasty... sort of cancerous place. We had them both. We had them together for about 18 months.
But they weren't actually ours, and we shouldn't. We sort of looked after them as best we could. But
yes,
so you don't really.
They were scavenging through the village, and so we started just feeding them morning and but night.
At least Tim has a home now to end his life.
Yes, he's been with us about. We were reckoning it must be 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we ran Cats Protection and found we wanted a tortoiseshell, and found that there wasn't not only one tortoiseshell kitten, but two tortoiseshell kittens. So armed with a basket, we went over to collect them. And as we walked into the room, they were in a very big cage with their mother. And we looked at their mother, and she was the spitting image of Emma. So, of course, we had to take Mum as well. Mum had 4 kittens altogether at the tender age of about 18 months. and her owners decided that they couldn't cope, so they'd put them all into the Cats Protection Society. And so she had to spend 6 weeks cooped up with four kittens, at least 6 weeks, it might even have been 2 months. So she was a little bit of a funny temper, but very, very affectionate, except to her kittens, and that's continued. And we've decided that really it's not her fault, it was just being shut up in close proximity to four kittens for that length of time. It wasn't a natural way that they would have had. Once the kittens were a little bit, had opened their eyes, they would have left them sleeping and gone off for a bit and had a bit of freedom, but she had no freedom.
What are they all called now?
It suddenly came to me in the middle of the night. I thought, we've got three girls, so we better have the Little Women. So Mum's Megan, and then we've got Amy and Bess. I would have liked the boy she had, who looked very much like Barney, except he's grey and white instead of ginger and white and long fur.
I like grey and white deals.
And your father said, it won't work. Little Women, there were just three women. I said, no, there wasn't. There was Joe. There were four. We could have him and call him Joe. So he rang up to find out if we could have Joe. He was called Charlie at the time, but actually somebody else had already.
Now we're running out of time. But the end of the story is that you've sort of got Timbuktu Part Two at the moment, haven't you? You've got another stray that's we don't know what the future. And I haven't met him yet.
Timbuk3, we call him. He's black and white, and he just comes for a meal. We're not going to invite him indoors because that's not fair to Timbuktu or the others. But if we do see him in the garden,
watch this space. This is what they said before. We've got about 17 cats as a result.
Eating the remains of what we've put out for the birds, then we go and feed him. But he's very nervous. He runs away when he sees us. And you see him peering, little face peering through the raspberry canes.
Yeah.
Is it safe to come out? Yeah. And the other cats don't seem to worry about him being in the garden. He's no threat to them.
And thank you for talking about all these cats.
I hope I haven't been boring.
No, not at all.
Only to people that like dogs.
Well, they can get their own podcast.
Hello, Paul.
It's Andrew.
And Lisa.
Here. And you're there.
Yeah, you're wherever you are.
You wanted to talk about cats.
Oh, that will be hard.
Right. We've got two cats, haven't we?
We have two cats, yes.
Right. Who are our cats, Lisa?
Our cats are Rose and Martha, or if you look on their cat passports, that makes it sound like they go abroad. It's what you take to the vets when they go for their winter protection. They're Harriet and Lily.
That's what they were called.
And I absolutely refused. Actually, one of them said Henrietta, so it could have been Henrietta / Harriet and Lily. But I refused to call Henrietta, so we changed their names to Martha and Rose.
Yes.
And Martha is a black cat. She has a little white bit on her chest, and she has a tortoiseshell tail.
And she's your cat.
And she's my cat. And Rose is a tortoiseshell cat. And she's
my cat.
And she's Andrew's cat, yes.
Because she tries to get in bed with me.
She does.
And sometimes she tries to get in my trousers.
She does, yes.
Like
she's very silly.
When did we get them?
We got them in 2008, yeah. So we've had them nine years.
Martha sang all the way home.
She did, yes. Rose sat on my lap in a box.
Yeah, but Martha just sings.
Yes, Martha sang for her supper.
And then they got into the house.
Yes, and we opened the doors of the boxes, and we got them from Cats Protection. And Cats Protection said that when you got them home, they might be scared and hide.
And we
put the boxes down and opened the doors, and they walked out and went,
this is all right.
And just weren't scared or
hide. They were... surprised by one thing, those stairs.
Stairs, yes. They'd obviously never had stairs where they lived before.
Yeah, they looked at stairs and went, how do these work?
Yeah.
And then they discovered how they worked.
Yes,
and then they ran up and down them about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, all night.
Thundering.
All night. Up the stairs, on the bed, on our feet, back down the stairs.
And what time was that big crash?
That was about 5 o'clock in the morning. Where Martha discovered though she made out it wasn't her.
Yeah.
But there's a piece of wall under the boiler which we hadn't realised was movable. Yeah,
there's a movable bit of wall.
Of wall
to protect the boiler pipes.
Yes, and we didn't even know it was there.
And Martha discovered you could move it.
Yes, she knocked it over. It knocked crashed. Everything else over.
And we went down to look at it, and she went, "No, that wasn't me."
No, wasn't me. Sorted out. Yeah.
But they're both daft,
yes.
aren't they?
Yes, yes, got dafter the longer we've had them. So. Yes,
and yeah, they. So. They've just been out in the garden, haven't they? Yes. And Martha came in all fluffed up.
She did. I don't know what she saw.
But Martha sees things, doesn't she?
Might have been the wind. She doesn't always like the wind either.
And she gets surprised by unexpected shoes.
Yes, shoes, coats, bags.
Herself.
Her tail, yeah. Lots of things. So.
But they're not the only cats that we know, are they?
No. We know...
There's some local cats.
We do know local cats. There's a cat next that lives next door to us called Phoebe. And she's a tortoiseshell cat like Rose. Yeah. And she's a little bit of a funny cat.
Well, she sees off big dogs.
She sees off big dog, but she's a bit scared of Martha.
Yeah.
But she's got friendlier.
She used to hiss a bit.
Well, she hissed a bit this morning.
Oh, okay.
Because she got scared by people. So, but yeah, she'll come and see us and rub around your legs, but you can't really touch her because she's a little bit bitey.
And there's Ginge.
And there's Ginge. We don't think that's his real name. That's what we nicknamed him. He went through a period of... Because I put some water out for him, and every time I changed the water, we went through a period of coming in the house and wandering around all the bedrooms, and had to be ushered out. He's beautiful. There's a big Ginge Tom.
Yeah.
So, and there's another little cat that lives out there, but that's not come to see it. Oh, there's little Ginge.
Yeah.
Little Ginge, is another ginger cat, which is mostly hangs around the back of the house. And that tried to come in as well once. They like our house.
When we lived at Gillingham, we couldn't have cats, could we?
No.
But there was a cat that used to visit and come in. What was he called?
Well, we called him Nudger because he nudged.
He was sort of black, wasn't he?
He was black, yeah.
He used to sit on the... in the hallway, didn't he? And drink from the toilet.
Drink from the toilet, yeah.
And then you had a house inspection once, didn't you?
Yeah. And have you got any pets? No. And there's this mad cat scraping to be let in.
Yeah, he was scraping at the
scraping at the French door, at the patio doors. And I say, well, you know, he comes in the garden sometimes.
But we don't feed him.
No, don't feed him. Don't let him in. Barefaced lawyer. But we found out afterwards we could have had a cat had we asked them.
Yeah, but you've always had cats, haven't you?
Yes, I always had cats when I was growing up.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah.
We had many cats.
I remember... One of my cats, Sinclair, named after Clive Sinclair, he was sort of white with some ginger bits. And he and I used to go for a walk up the path behind in the fields up the sort of top of our house. And we'd get up a sort of a mile up the track.
Mm.
And then I'd sort of say, well, that's far enough now. And I'd turn around and start to walk back. And he'd run all the way back home so he could beat me. And I'd come home and... Sort of walk home and he'd be sat on the woodpile going, why did it take you so long to get here?
But I can't do that. They have to, if you walk upstairs and they walk upstairs, they've got to be upstairs before you.
But yesterday,
and they sit and look at you.
Yesterday we went to the Cat Cafe in Bournemouth.
The Cat Cafe in Bournemouth. And
for your birthday.
For my birthday. And it was lovely. There are lots of very friendly cats there.
Mm-hmm. A cat cafe isn't a cafe where cats go to eat.
No, it's a cafe that has cats.
Yeah, and you visit them.
You visit them and you can stroke them if they decide they want to come and see you.
Yeah.
And there was one particular cat. I think it was a cat called the Bear.
Yeah, well, there's your food comes in boxes.
It comes in boxes, yeah.
And you realised why now.
Yes. And this,
you had a cheese platter.
I had a cheese platter and this cat had already tried to lick the people next door's butter. So I covered the bit with the bread and butter in it, but I didn't get the cover on the cheese one quick enough. And next thing I know, Bear is in the box.
He's got his...
She. And she had a lump of cheese in her mouth. And I had to take it out of her mouth.
It's a bit like Alan Partridge when he goes to lunch with the head of like BBC or whatever. And he sort of goes a bit mad and he gets the cheese and he starts running around going... I've got cheese, this is cheese. And it was almost like the cat was trying to do that. But you had to pull it out of its mouth.
It out of his mouth.
And then you couldn't really eat it because it was full of cat teeth.
Marks and spit. And she stepped on all the other cheese as well.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Just to make sure, yeah.
That you couldn't have any. That was her house.
Yeah,
and everything there. She owns everything there, doesn't she?
Yeah. So. But it's a really nice place and it's very relaxing. You just have to watch out for mad cats trying to steal your food.
But then I think just generally cats are daft, aren't they?
Yes. Well, they are when they meet you.
Yeah.
All cats like you, because there was a cat in your once, wasn't there?
Oh, it climbed up my trousers and sat on my shoulder.
On your shoulder. We were just walking along. We just stopped to say hello to the cat. And one minute it was on the pavement. The next minute it was on his shoulders.
Then there was the one on the Isle of Wight in the pub. That sat on my coat and then wouldn't let me go.
No.
I made to move me coat and get the cat up. And it went, no, you're staying here.
I think it
probably liked my coat more than me.
But we actually probably spent a lot more time in the pub than we would have because the cat came to sit with us and it was nice.
But cats are great, aren't they?
They are great, yes. So. Everybody should appreciate cats because they are majestic creatures.
Yeah. Okay, I think that'll do. Right. See you soon, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, it's me, your Yeti Uncle John. I just wanted to call in to say I'm enjoying your episode and all about the cats. Cats are those things with whiskers, aren't they? Yeah, sorry, I get confused. They're the ones that go meow? Yeah, okay. The other ones go woof woof. They're the dogs, aren't they? Yeah, sorry. Oh, God. Oh, it's been a long night. I like the cats because little ears and and the sniffing. They're quite that dealy. He's one of them cats, isn't he? Blimey, oh dear, he's a cheeky beggar. He's a cheeky beggar. He is. Yes. Wish I was a cat. Blimey, that would be nice. Just being a little cat. Maybe if I try hard, maybe one day, eh? Maybe one day. All right, better go. All right, speak to you soon. All right then, bye now. Bye, bye, bye.
Hello, darling, it's me, Bettina Dupre. Oh, yes, goodness. I do like cats. I have hung around with some cool cats in my time. I have, I really have. And, have I ever lived with a cat? Of course. A good friend of mine, she owned a cat sanctuary. Well, was it a cat sanctuary or was it a kennels? I'm not sure what the difference is, to be honest. I think she opened one of those cat cafes. I have lost contact, but I had a Christmas card. And yes, I think she was running a cat cafe. A bit like Andrew and Lisa were saying. Yes, I think the cats were just for display purposes. They weren't working in the cafe. Well, maybe they were. I haven't been there yet. Oh, dear. Okay, darling, gotta go. Gotta go now, darling. 1,000,000 kisses. 1,000,001 kisses. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Ooh, hello. Yes, this is me, Nick the Alien. I've never met a cat before in my TV. He is my first cat. As Paul said at the start of the episode, we don't have cats in space, well, at least not on my planet. Most of the things on my planet just have tentacles, not whiskers. To be honest, I think my planet would be a lot better if there were cats, rather than what there actually is. You know that film, Alien? Yes, Alien, and Alien 2. Oh no, Alien 2 is an obscure Italian film. I should have said Aliens. Yes, I think things would be far nicer if, instead of a horrible creature that burst from the pod, what burst from the pod was a little cute kitten. Things would be a lot nicer, don't you think? Anyway, I get on very well with Dealey. He's a very interesting person. In fact, he's probably the most interesting person I have met. Sorry, Paul, I don't mean to be rude, but he's very interesting. Anyway, I'm interested to hear the next interview you have coming up.
Hello, it's me, Cromarty. I would just like to say that cats are by far the most intelligent creatures on the whole of the planet Earth. They're even more intelligent than me. Yes. You know, when I'm not sure what to do, I go up to Dealey and I say, "Hey, buddy, tell me, what should I do?" And Dealey says,
"Meow."
And I go, of course, I never thought. If only I had thought. Yes. They are truly geniuses, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. What? Hello? What? Yes? No? Oh, it's me, Charlie Girl. I like pies. Sorry, I like cats. But no, I don't have cats in pies. No. Cats do not go into pies. You never thought you'd hear me say that, but it's true. I respect cats. Cats are kind of like bears anyway. Cats are like cat bears. They look like bears. Slim bears. Some of them are quite fat. Some of them, basically, we are the same thing. But cats are small bears. Yes, that's what I think anyway. Don't quote me on that, though. Yes, zoologists might have a different opinion. But I like cats. Yeah. They're very good at chess. Yes, absolutely.
Listeners, the last little voice message is from Damius. This was recorded back in the day, back in the summer, before he had his rest time. Before he had his upset with Bettina and stuff, so, yeah. It's the old-style Damius. Yeah.
Hello, it's me, Damius Twinklehorn. I'm very much enjoying your episode on cats. Yes, I once was in the musical Cats. Yes, I played a fish. Yes, I played a fish that all the cats wanted to eat. But in real life, the cats were very friendly and they didn't try and eat me. So I like cats. Yes, nice chaps. Yes, all of them. Anyway, I better go. Of course, I did Cat Hamlet too. Yes, so my career has been very much linked in with the lives of cats. Oh, I better go. It's me, Damien Strinklehorn, signing out.
Better than rubbing. I don't see. Eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is it that
catastrophe?
Yes, because
what's that say?
Catastrophe. Cat got your tongue. Pay $50 doctor's fee.
What, to the bank?
Yes, yeah. To the bank. Ooh.
Cat did what?
Got your tongue.
Cat got the tongue.
Ten.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You want to buy him?
Yeah, he's nice. Burmese.
And Burmese, 210 then to your father.
210.
6, you've got to double again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're going to have to pay him rent because he's already bought it.
£18. $18.
And you have it. You have another go because that was a double. Not into the bank, into your own money.
It's going to be like Donald Trump and work out. Just be borrowing from the bank.
6, is that mine?
Oh, this is a fish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do you want to buy it?
What's that?
270, it's a Burman.
Have I got any of those?
No, we haven't been round the board yet.
Oh, well, I must have had one round there.
No, but they're this set. It's just like
they're all together, are they?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what Monopoly does. I've got a clue now.
You don't. Right, it's my turn. Oops.
I've got some cat-themed poems. They're all from my book, If Poems Were Pies. I'm sorry if you've heard any of these before, but, well, I hope you'll enjoy hearing them again, if so. But I don't think you'll have heard all of them anyway. Let me get started. The first one's called Cat Thief. I'm a cat thief. I'm also a cat. I like stealing kippers and stuff like that. I like beef. I like turkey too, but I ain't gonna pay for it. Hey, what are you gonna do? I'm a pickpocket of a feline kind. You better keep away from crowds, or else you might just find that your wallet's gone, or that your handbag's nicked. Cause I've a talent for theft, your mean crime just clicked. I'm a cat thief. I'm a felonious moggy. I might steal your Mac and leave you cold and soggy. I'm you loud. But I'm full of sass. I'm a pussycat pirate, yes, I'm so badass. You'll never catch me out, cause I'm mean and slinky, and my breath is fresh, no me, never stinky. I'm a master criminal, and no, I'm never caught. But should you give me trouble, I'll give you claws for thought. I'm a cat thief. I'm a wheeler dealer. I'm more scandalous than Christine Keeler. Now you're being catty. Still, I'll never fail. If you try to protest, I'll tie you up with my tail. If you leave food out, I will steal your burger. I'm not just a cat thief, also a cat burglar. You may think you're clever, but I'll not be outwitted. To a life of crime, I am superbly fitted. I'm a cat thief. I am also a cat. I like stealing knickers. What do you think about that? I'm not a thug. No, I never get rough. But I may steal your clothes and leave you in the buff. No, you won't see me coming. No, there's no time to shout. Yes, I may leave you wishing that you'd not gone out. I'm no hooligan. So suave, you're smitten. Oh, so you better beware, because I'm a gangster kitten. This is called Do Kittens Drink Custard? Do kittens drink custard? Do they take a quick slurp? If they drink it too fast, might it cause them to burp? If they lap it up gently, will they soon fall asleep and be chased in their dreams by carnivorous sheep? If their custard's too thick, might it make them all sluggish or bring out their mean side and make them go kind of thuggish? Will kittens drink custard or a cool ginger beer? Do they run around mewing whilst wielding a spear? Does it get on their wicks should you ask them to dance? Then indulge in hypnosis till they're left in a trance. If their custard's too runny, then their temper's afraid, and you might find your head on the end of a blade. Should kittens drink custard, or will it make them too fat? Will they simply balloon into an elephant-sized cat? Will their minds be distracted by a thick yellow smog? Will they be far too slow if they're chased by a dog? If their custard's fermented or if it's gone far too crusty? Well, a kitten gets cross if its custard's gone musty. Would kittens drink custard if it was tepid to chew, or stupidly squidgy, or maybe cause them to spew? Hissy fits would be had and meows that were grumpy if their custard was stringy or gritty or lumpy. If their custard was hard with a skin like a shell, then a kitten would growl, yes, and possibly yell. Can a kitten drink custard? Well, the jury is out. As hard as they try, it would seem there's still doubt. It would seem there's a question that no one can figure, and the longer it's left, well, that question gets bigger. It's a mystery needs answering. Oh, stop looking disgusted. All I want now to know is, will a kitten drink custard? Do kittens drink custard? Well, hey, kitty cat, there's a nice bowl of custard. So what do you say to that? Well, he gives it a sniff, his reactions I've noted. Quickly slips in his tongue with his whiskers all coated. Well, he gives me a look and he raises his paw. Gives a two-clawed salute, then he's out of that door. This one's a little bit dark. It's called Peeping Tomcat. Peeping Tomcat, don't you start. Peeks in discreetly, such a tart. He's on the prowl, that window ledge. He's peeping cheeky through the hedge. Yes, whilst they shower, he cops a look. Evil Tomcat photos took. Peeping Tomcat, filthy perv. Admirer of the female curve. Admirer of the naked paw. Staring, drooling, quite in awe. All the girl cats in dress in the dark. But he has night vision goggles, that cunning shark. Peeping Tomcat, voyeur supreme. An exhibitionist, one sweet dream. They work in tangent, complement each other. Not one to bring home to your mother. He'd flirt with Mater, and before you knew, would have bedded her. Sad but true. Peeping Tomcat needs cooling down. In a puddle they'll see him drown. They'll hold his head beneath the water for taking naked shots of their kitten daughter. Only takes two claws to make that moggy wise. No peeping for a tomcat without eyes. Ooh, that's a bit dark. We're going to finish with a cat-related poem that isn't really about cats, more about catnip. It's called You Are Catnip to Me. You are catnip to me. I don't mean you're a plant that is grown in the garden by some poor maiden aunt. I just mean I'm attracted in a way that I'm liking. You are catnip to me, and you're beefy, you're striking. In a way beyond logic, you send my brain in a spin. You are cuddle contagious, you're a prize great to win. May my dreams every night be just you in the buff. You are catnip to me, I simply can't get enough. You are catnip to me, yes, you make my heart flutter. May I please to seduce you, might I drench you in butter? But you're naturally yummy, yes, and juicy as hell. You are catnip to me, and you do it so well. Yes, my knees go all shaky and my heart skips a beat. I get hot, I get sweaty like some old dog in heat. You are catnip to me, you are woofy, I'm mewy. If you were a cool cartoon character, you would be Hong Kong Fooey. You are catnip to me, I have a reaction that's strong. You give out a sweet scent, which in no way is a pong. I just can't get my fill of your bit so naughty. You are catnip to me and you're soon pushing 40. You're alluring, mysterious, you look fabulous naked. If you rolled in a puddle, you'd look great muddy caked. You are better than rhyme, 12 times better than clover. You are catnip to me, might I kiss you all over? You are catnip to me, you make me ever so flirty. The things I'd like us to do, they're really quite dirty, but not in a bad way, I've a particular theme. You are catnip to me, can I bring squirty cream? Can I bring something slinky? My mind spins on its axis, something flimsy to tear off, Velcro line for quick access. You are catnip to me, I will answer all phone calls. Now I'm done with life's kittens, so will you show me your furballs? There we go. Some cat-themed poems from If Poems Were Pies, from 2009.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, no.
Cost
seven.
Yeah, well, she's on it.
No, you have to buy it. Maybe.
Yeah.
No, it says cost 70. Oh, yeah, I've got
how much?
It's a mouse. It costs $175.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I'll have that.
What is that? What is that like? The water company, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It does say if a player chooses not to buy a property, any player may bid any price to buy the property. The highest bidder receives the deed. So we could have, I could have said to you, oh, I'll buy it for 20. Yeah.
But no one's have done so far, so
no.
Wait until we go round to there before we impose that one, and everybody's on equal footing, aren't they? Seven. That's not normal.
No, there's...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, did you buy that? Yes, I did. It's $35, please. $35. 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
That's that one. Oh, this one is this one.
Oh, yeah. Bad luck. Advance to scat, but do not collect £200.
$200.
Yeah, but you should. Can I have $200, please?
Because you get, but collect $200.
Well, because I passed. I did pass go.
First.
Is that right?
That's well, you passed it, and then you.
And it said. Go advance to again. It, didn't it? Yeah.
But did you get 200?
No, I didn't get 2 last
time. I didn't, but I'm on it again, but I don't, I've got to go, I only got to there, but if I'd been over here.
Yeah, but you passed it here.
Yes. Yeah, so you got $200.
So then you get another $200.
But then
$200.
It says advance to go, but don't take $200.
Oh, don't take, no. Sorry, I didn't get that.
Six.
What you're you? There.
Hello, Nick. It's me. I'm back in Salisbury. Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
I was catching up with my mum and I was asking her about the cats that they've had. You know, ones I remember and even the ones I don't remember. Mm. But you're another person who comes from a cat family.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we haven't had a cat now for 21 years, ever since Whiskey Junior died. In fact, 21 years this September. I didn't really... I mean, Mum and Dad were quite getting on a bit then, so they didn't want the rigmarole of starting out with a new cat. And I was looking in the long term to leave home, well, in the short term, long term, whatever came along. So we both... Well, I think it was a mutual decision that we've never... We didn't have... We weren't going to have another cat. We've never really, because we've always been in rented accommodation, we never really kind of contemplated having a kind of, also pet-wise, I mean, we've got a car, and that sort of saps enough of the income anyway.
I knew Junior, who I never really knew as anything other than Junior. I didn't know the whiskey bit. In fact, I had to sort of double take. I don't know. When I was re-listening to this old episode, you remember you referring to him as Whiskey Junior. And I was hearing you said it, but I don't know that I questioned it at the time. But I was like,
to call him Junior a little bit more, because his mum was called Whiskey.
Mm.
I don't know why I called her Whiskey, but she was a stray cat that our friends at the road adopted. Mm. And she didn't have a name, so they weren't cat people. But then in 1982, I believe, they had a litter of cats, kittens, and suddenly they kind of reluctantly took her on, and they kind of charmed them all in the end, and so she yeah, I think they were quite upset when she died.
Mm.
But
where does Molly fit into this?
Molly's the one before. Yeah. I could be very boring actually, tell you all about, you know, the ones we've had. It won't go on too long, but the first one we had was before I was born. It was like 7 years before I was born. One called Roly Whiskers, who was I can't remember what type of cat. I've only seen black and white photographs of. Maybe he was a black and white cat, but they got him before my sister was born, so we're talking about the late 50s, and they moved to Bromley, and as I understand it, Roly wasn't too keen on the idea of being oused by a baby or bested by a baby, and I think, you know, there was a bit of misbehaving, and he upped and left home. I think it's the only cat that we've had that's actually vamooshed. And we had Pickles when I was about two, coming up three, so we're talking 1971. That was what was described as a broken silver tabby. It's like a it was. Pickles was found in a bramble bush in London, and one of Mum's friends brought him home, and actually, come to think of it, I'm not actually sure whether Pickles was a him or a her. But anyway, so yeah, these, and sort of, do you want a cat? Oh yeah, another cat. By which time it had been 10 years since Roly Whiskers, so that's quite interesting. I think it's interesting they must have concentrated on bringing up Jen and then myself, and maybe they thought it was the right time for a cat. Sadly, Pickles was run over in the fog in the lead up to Christmas, well, I think November 71, and so he never really, as one photograph of him, he never really amounted to anything other than a young cat. I think this is where, fast forwarding a little bit, I was mega cautious about when I let Junior out on his own. I think he was a goodly few months old when I did. They seem, you know, he got basically run over at the end of Tollgate Road in the fog. What he was doing at the end of Tollgate Road, I do not know, because that was miles, you know, because it was quite right the other end of Tollgate Road. But yes, bless him, I've got a photograph of him. Then we had Tropical Fish for 2 years, which didn't really...
It's a funny name for a cat.
I know, yeah, it's my little part called Tropical Fish. I used to work with somebody who named their two goldfish after a breast operation, breast enlargement operation. But that's another story. I'm a very weird colleague. We had Tropical Fish for 2 years, and then in 1973, round about the springtime, Pointer, the only cat we got from a pet shop, the pet shop that used to be in Winchester Street, long since gone, but so named because he had black, it was a white cat with black ears and a black tail, so when he had his back to you, he looked like a pint of milk. Sadly, Pinter only lasted a week.
Gosh.
Died of cat flu. That was very sad. I remember that, and I remember the last time I saw him was when the vet sort of put out sort of this chemical stuff to put him to sleep, because he was in a bit of a state. Traumatic time, because I was only four, coming on five at the time. Then we had Emily, who, like Pickles, was an abandoned cat. Mother was frightened away by a hedge cutter, and she was always a bit wild. Again, we got her as a kitten. Again, we lost her to a traffic accident on Tollgate Road. This is what I kind of, even now, I'm at 48, I'm cautious about crossing Tollgate Road. But there's a few more photographs of Pinter. Unfortunately, only existed in a drawing that my mum did. In terms of reference, there's a couple of pictures of Emily. The timing was horrible on that particular demise, because it was Christmas 73, And I just finished my first term at school, and we had a concert. I don't think I was actually part of it, but it was a school concert, so come along. And the parents were invited. And at the end of the day, it took me until then to actually clock that there was something wrong. And I said, "Where's it?" I'd just gone to bed. I was just being put to bed. Nobody said a thing about the death. And so, where's Emily? And then she sat me down and told me, and I cried myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always kind of put a bit of a question mark over my mum's handling of that. She's a lovely lady, but she's never been terribly good at her timing. Mm-hmm. She also handed me the obituary in the journal of my old childhood sweetheart. Who died of deep vein thrombosis, unfortunately. And that was when we were both in the middle of Salisbury Cathedral about to record an episode of Songs of Praise. And there was the director going, "Smile, I want you to look happy." And I thought, "I just want to cry." Because they're only my age. And that was about 15 years ago. But within about 5 months of Emily, in the early 74... Yeah, well, it was sort of spring 74, sort of planted the spider's diet. Suddenly, I think I came home from Sunday school with a temperature of about 100 and something, nearly fatal. And I went to bed and everything. But meanwhile, this drama was playing out. There was this people in Laverstock who took in these litter of kittens, and the dog was terrorising them. I believe the phrase was turning on them like a rabbit, and they were there with saying they didn't know what to do. I mean, I think probably even then my parents were going, no more cats, because it's just too traumatic when they go. And this little bundle, and my dad particularly was vitriolic about not having another cat, but my mum was sweet talked. My mum is always sweet talked. Just like me. And I vividly remember my mum coming through in the living room with this small bundle of grey and white. I rumbled by then that my mum and dad weren't impulsive in terms of these things, and so I could not believe that they had got another cat so quickly after both Pinter and Emily. And my dad was lying upstairs because he spent most of his time asleep, and mum came. "Well, look, here she is. She's got nowhere else to go." And there was a moment's silence, and he said, "We'll call her Molly."
Mm-hmm. I didn't know Molly was grey and white. That's like deals.
Yes, yes. She was a lovely Molly. Had basically her second name was Mittens, because there was a cat at number three called Moppet. Moppet and Mittens apparently were, I don't know my Beatrix Potter well enough, but apparently they were Beatrix Potter characters. Moppet was actually stone deaf. She was a white cat, and quite often white cats are actually completely stone deaf. So Molly Mittens, yes, joined us in 74. Left us in 87, and there was a crossover time between her and Junior. She was there. She was started at the Beaches and moved to Kent Road. She was.
I missed meeting her because
you did. Yes, I mean I would have met you, but she was. Yeah. She was a Dutch, bit of a duchess. She behaved like a kitten when my mum was around. My mum used to play this game called Where's the Whiskers. Where if it was just everybody else had gone to bed, and it was just her and Molly, and they would play hide and seek, sort of go, and she would suddenly go skittish, and Mum would creep around the house going, "Where's Whiskers?" She had a very towards. And probably even before Junior, she began to develop a kind of grand dame duchess kind of personality, because she used to stand at the top of the stairs and look down. As her workman, she'd always hide under the table. I don't converse with common men. You know, she was a kind of... She was a Dame Edith Evans of
Dealey's the
catwalk.
Dealey's like... Dealey's like the foreman. He checks all their work. In fact, he checks their... He not only checks their work, but he checks their pockets. Yes. And he checks their toolbox.
So she had this dual personality where she was a kitten around Mum. She was very much Mum's cat. I suppose because they bonded because she rescued her. And she always liked chopped liver, and she also had a habit. We had this stool in the Beach's kitchen where you could actually stand up, and it was possible for Molly to actually jump onto my Mum's back a bit like Planet of the Spiders, and she used to rest on my Mum's shoulder. I've even got a picture of this when she was a lot older, in the 80s. I recreated it. I don't think she was very happy about it.
The cat we had that was mine, Poppy, that you remember.
Yes.
Big grey cat. She, of all the cats we had, she was the one who would land on your shoulder.
Yes. But no, she used to, whenever she was chopping up giblets or whatever, you know, she used to land on my Mum's shoulder and look her. And round about the same time, Bernie Clifton was on telly when he wasn't with that ostrich or whatever it was. He would have this character who was the cat who used to rest on his shoulder, and I remember thinking that was Molly. But in 1982, Junior Whiskey gave birth to Junior. I was 13 at the time, so I felt I was mature enough to look after a cat. I was wrong. I don't think I was temperamentally patient enough with Junior.
She had more than one.
The Whiskey had three.
Mm.
Sort of being kind of presumptuous, I kind of named them. There was Orlando, there was Tiger, or Tigress, as we discovered it was a girl. They all went to different homes. Mm. Whiskey stayed with the Conliffs until she died. Junior, I was completely charmed with. Sweetest little thing I'd ever seen, and of course I went to my parents and no, we don't want another cat, no, the one's enough, da 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 da, and I don't know what I used on them, but they finally did give in, and yes, I mean, as you can imagine, Molly wasn't terribly keen on the idea of another cat around, especially temperamentally, you know, she was the Duchess and the mistress, and he was a cheeky little fellow. He was until the day he died. He was very whimsical. He was very playful and very gentle. And because he was a very taciturn little fellow, his mew was, even when he was matured into a full cat, there was still a high-pitched mew, you know. And he never liked to be seen to be... she used to steal... She used to steal Molly's food when Molly had finished, and she used to. I remember there was eating bowls on either side of the kitchen, and she used to look around and hiss. And I've never heard a cat growl and eat at the same time. She's a bit like Aurak, you know. so that was, and it was very tempestuous, but they got on when nobody was looking. If they were around, they'd fight, or if they pass each other in the corridor, they'd fight. And but you'd often find them sleeping together. it was just like a maiden aunt and a naughty nephew. I think there was one time when she played grandmother's footsteps. She used to, the tail, would, Molly's tail would go like this. And
I don't know if I'm imagining it or whether I'm confusing him with one of my own cats, my parents' cats. But did he sometimes sit there with his tongue sort of?
Oh, yes, he'd be eating or licking, or no, washing, that's right. He'd be washing himself. His head would come up and his tongue would still be stuck out.
Presumably he's on... when did he pass on? Because he
was our longest term cat. Although he always seemed to be a young cat, he actually outlived Molly by... Molly died in 87.
Mm.
Unfortunately, in 83, towards the end of 83, she sustained a rat bite just under the eye. and was taken to the vet and had it lanced and drained, and it was everything. On the very same site, she began to develop a tumour, a hard tumour under her eye, which nearly closed it. And we probably left it way too long, but I just really at odds with the idea of putting animals down. I think obviously it's a humane thing to do, but I've always, it didn't sit very well. I've always questioned people's opinion, you know, but well, the right we have to do that. But yeah, she was off her food in the end, and to September 86. The thing is, I always felt guilty because I felt guilty about Molly for two reasons. One, the introduction of Junior, I think, was, although Junior was a lovely child, and Dad in particular was completely bowled over by him once he arrived, but it was a little selfish of me to actually have introduced a cat, another cat, mm-hmm. to the frame when we had Molly, and Molly was 8 years old when she came along, and her temperament changed. I mean, she was grumpy till the day she died with us. I mean, she, you know, she would hiss at me, or if I'd been around, I suppose if I'd been around Junior or whatever. But it wasn't, you know, it had its comical moments, but it wasn't an easy relationship. And I you know, and the other thing was, my mum and dad were just about to go away on holiday. By 87, I wasn't really going on holiday with them anymore, and I was going to be on my own, and Molly was quite clearly dying. Mm. And we didn't know what to do, because if they left, it wouldn't have been, it was quite clearly not fair to have left her in the state she was, but I wasn't able to take her to the vet, and so they had her put down before they went, which I thought to myself, well, you know, that was the time wasn't right, but I suppose she was off her food at that point. We buried her in the back garden. I have a photograph somewhere of the coffin I made, with the paw still stuck out, because of course they didn't bury her until a week later when Mum and Dad were back from holiday, and they had to deep freeze her. They actually, with our permission, did an autopsy, because they were at the time, of course, 87, AIDS was big, and they were saying that there's a kind of research they can do on the tumour that was related to the HIV virus. How, I have no idea. I mean, it was a cat with cancer tumour, so goodness knows where the link was. But no, fortunately, the rather gruesome memory I have is we actually buried her without a face. Poor old girl. So yeah, she was a dignified cat who had a lot of indignities to bear. But Junior, yes, he was. I think because I always think that the seminal moment for those two wasn't actually something you could see, but I was in one room and they were in the other, and it just showed their different temperaments, because I heard this hiss followed by Junior sneezing. And I just thought that was completely, you know, she was very prickly and he was very whimsical. So his reaction wasn't hissing back, it was just sneezing.
Whilst we've been recording whilst we've been preserving Sutton Park, have you spotted Junior in any episodes?
Bless him, I have, yes. Yes. And in actual fact, I when I was putting together a DVD of Inquisition in Law, I actually used some Sutton Park there, and there he was. And I actually did a independent video. There's a video on my Facebook page of him. But no, he lasted. He started in 82, and he lasted. Molly went on. He was the sole sort of cat between 87 and 96, and he eventually, his kidneys packed up, and he died in 1996, just before I started my college course. He again got very thin, and he was always a rebel. He was always wanted to escape from things, and he actually escaped, because he was so thin, he escaped from a very small gap in the window, and he went off into the night. I thought, maybe that's the best way for him, you know, he'll know when to go. Apparently he got as far as the end of the road, and he started fitting by a pond, little old lady out the road, actually, down the road, actually took him to Avon, I was going to say Avon Brewery. No, that's a pub. Avon Valley or Veterinary or... Mm. It's a place down by the Dolphin. And they put him down. And I brought him home in a pizza box. I don't know quite how the old lady made the connection between the us and him, but there were two kids up the road who kind of looked out for him, and because towards the end he was losing it a bit, and he used to wander in the middle of the street, in a sort of drunken sort of state. But there's several little whimsical memories I remember of Junior. He was such a lovely cat. But it's a rather tragic kind of backlog of Junior and Molly. I don't know. None of our cats died of old age, shall we say. Junior was kidneys. Molly it was cancer. Pinter and Emily got run over him, and Rolly Whiskers packed his bag and left. I think that's probably another reason why I don't entertain the idea of having a cat, even though I love them to bits. And it's always nice going round to your mum and dad's place and seeing them.
It was not necessarily the intention when I started this episode, but it has most definitely become a really catty episode.
Sorry, I've rattled on a bit, but I've got a very obviously when you're a kid, It's the like, lovely fairy animals that are going to make an impact. And
so. A lot of my poems and the poems I've included in this episode have been some of my cat-related ones. So I'm sorry, dog lovers. I don't have many dog. Yeah. I do have one or two dog poems, but I'm afraid we quite like dogs, but we are much more of a cat podcast.
My mum has a lovely book called Cats, Cats, Cats. I think she still has it. And it's got some wonderful pictures on it. I think it came out in the 60s. And there's some wonderful ones of... I don't know how much of these are staged. I presume they are. But there's one where the cat's being trained to pull darts out of a darts board. Why the lazy sods couldn't actually have done it themselves, I don't know. But there was one where who invented Billy Bunter? Frank.
Oh, he's got a double-barreled name.
Frank.
Yeah.
He's photographed playing chess with a cat, which I mean. And there's one that looked just like Molly, and there's a picture of this Molly-like cat, and there's a picture of a male cat following them. And I thought, hey, Molly, you've got an admirer. it's a shame, really. It's all sort of a distant memory now. But Junior, he had some wonderful days, like running. He was a big show-off. I mean, I remember him running in the garden, looking at us and running, and he went straight first into a tree.
That sounds familiar. For Dick Dealey, is very much the same.
Being frightened down the garden by a bird. I've got an extraordinary photo. When he was a kitten, he just joined us. He sat on my mum's lap, on his back, with his legs crossed and his paws outstretched, if you believed in reincarnation, you think that one of your relatives had come back and was making themselves at home. They had some extraordinary times.
Well, thank you for sharing your memories.
Oh, and one last thing. Oh, yes. Andy Ching's Child of Anubis, which is the premiere, happens tonight after 22 years in development. There is a shot in that film where Junior is washing his undercarriage. Or maybe it was his armpit, I don't know. But and he had this thing where when he washed, his arm used to go up and down. His paw used to go up and down as if it was on a string, as if it was the Thunderbird's puppet. And that's actually there for all to see in a shot in Children of Anubis. So he is immortalised on film.
Thank you very much. Hello, Jules. What are you saying? Really? I thought you'd think my idea of doing
a podcast about cats would be a good one. Don't you have anything to say about your fellow catmates? You never do, do you? You never speak when you're spoken to.
Last one, off on Uncle Paul.
Oh, do you want one, Uncle Paul? What colour?
I want a grandma.
Every one you come up with.
Another one?
If you want one, yeah, I'll have it. You want a fortune, you ain't.
Yeah.
She paid for me anyway, so I'll only give it away her sweets.
Thanks, I love you too.
Can't have ace high, can you?
No.
No, that's a different game. Oh, what you mean as in queen, king, ace? No.
Oh!
But not that, you haven't offered me one.
No, it's not one. He's actually, we've got a garden, he wasn't.
Oh, is that Timbuk 3, is it?
Mm.
I don't like green, you want green.
Can I go see him?
No, because he went off, babies.
It is.
He does look
like Timbuk 2.
I want something else.
It is difficult to tell.
Oh, thank you.
When he walked across the garden, he walked normally. But when he went into the hedge, it looked like he was limping into the hedge.
He's either
a bad actor or he's...
He's got
funny white socks.
Three or four... Oh, and he's got a very grumpy face. It's not a lovable looking...
He's got a white bit.
Yeah, but somehow this configuration, this white bit over is... Yeah, which is certainly not doing this one.
Pushing the cars away.
Waiting for him.
Sorry?
Waiting for him.
And well, we have to feed pussycats. I gave him two lots this morning because he didn't get any last night.
Greedy Timbuk 3. Timbuk 3 names.
I love how he has his face in the bowl.
Oh. Mm. He says, what?
He's only got the food that Timbuk 2 wouldn't eat. Timbuk 2.
He's like Timbuk 2's reject brother.
Oh.
Timbuk 2 had a reject sister.
Mm.
Really?
What happens then?
Oh, right.
Well, yeah. It was difficult to tell us.
Dad, I could see your car.
When they were still strays.
She was more nervous. She used to follow him to get to
her. Where's the bird leaves?
Hey? Did you see him walking at all?
Poor.
Was he limping?
He limped when he went into the hedge, and then when he went across to there, he didn't limp at all. So I don't know what's going on. He's a method actor.
Put it down, baby. Put that down. Put the spoon down, baby.
Why are you on a plane of reading now?
Where is that? We're playing cards.
Bye.
How long has he been showing up in the car?
A couple of months.
Yeah,
isn't it? Whose go is it?
Yours.
No, it's not, is it?
It's not really.
Who
started?
Are we?
Nothing happened. You didn't miss anything.
It's twos.
There's a queen, a 10, and a 10 down there, if you fancy it's a queen. Yeah, a 10 and a 10.
He doesn't look as long haired as.
No.
I don't think I could have a cat with long fur.
No, it's not.
Dee's got long enough fur, and he's a dry.
Well, there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode. The way I look at it, whether it be a cat or whether it be a dog, we love them to bits. And that unites us. We don't have to be cat people or dog people. We should just be animal people. And we love our animals and we do anything for them. We don't have to be nasty. I mean, some of the things that people say about cats being, I don't know, aloof or, you know, not like humans. Or the people say that when dogs are very sort of, you know, affectionate, that they are more like humans. I'm always unsure about that because I've met plenty of humans that are totally aloof and you know, self-serving and sure, it's lovely to have a dog totally devoted to you, but would you want a human to be like that? No, that's a dog behavior, not a human. That's not really human behavior. Or if it is, you know, what is nice in a dog? You probably wouldn't be so keen if you had a friend who was hanging on your every word in the way that a dog might. So I don't really get that when it comes to a theory. But in a way, I kind of respect cats, their aloofness. I mean, people are pretty awful most of the time. And I'm not talking about you, listeners, but, you know, other people. People who don't listen to podcasts. You know, and you know, a lot of people, when they think about it, you know, ultimately, a lot of people do things, you know, for their own self-interest. Well, of course. You know, when people have kids, they're not doing it for somebody else. They are doing it for them and for their own family, you know. I see a lot of human characteristics in cats and dogs, but, you know. Anyway, as I say, I said quite enough, but Let's just say we love our cats, we love our dogs. We love our gerbils and our hamsters and our fish and our parrots and our snakes and all those sort of things, if we have those probably as well. But, yeah. I love my cat. I love my Mr. Deals. And I know that sometimes I'm only second in running as his favourite person, maybe even third, depending on, you know, what's going on. But I wouldn't be without him. He really makes me laugh. And I'm sure your cats and dogs do the same. So, as I said before, please do send in your dog reminiscences or your cat reminiscences or even your other pet reminiscences. And I'm quite happy to put together another episode. I'll just have to see, I'll have to see what submissions I get. And to be honest, I can't do it without you guys. So if you want me to talk about dogs like I've talked about cats this episode, I'm going to need some help. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Next time, well, I'm not totally sure what we'll be doing, but it'll be good, I hope. It'll be fun, I hope. And, yeah, take care. Join me again soon, and, well, goodbye for now. Meow! Absolutely, yes. Definitely, meow.
What sort of way is that to speak to me?
Meow.
It's not very polite, is it? Huh?
Meow.
Will you speak to me nicer if I sit down?
Meow.
Meow. What?
Meow.
Goodness. The listeners will think you're right, old fishwife. What will you say next? Anything nicer? Hmm? Oh, that's better. That's cute.
Doesn't always do that.
Nice, confused. Are you confused? Anyway. Stop recording it now.
I gotta go now.
Goodbye! It's quite long.
No. Hey, that's insulting.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
Meow. May I please to seduce you?
He's not that shy.
Oh, I hope he hasn't found out my secret. Do you think he has?
130. Unified, unique
voices. Unified,
unique voices.
A network of inclusion.
Unifospods.net.
Here, kitty, 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 you may purchase any unknown cat space.
Oh, that's different, isn't it?
Well,
any
any that's not sold.
Well, what have you bought? You want to do one that you've bought, don't you?
Yeah, which is the better?
This one's more expensive.
I don't know what this. It's Manx.
No, but the yellow.
So you want
it's Turkish. Oh, yeah, buy the Turkish van. $130. Have a Barney.
Yeah, I'll have a Barney. $130.
From the bank. Oh, no, not from the bank. Sorry.
Yes,
give it to the bank. Give it to the bank.
Don't encourage
that. You'll hear what she says.
100 and a yellow one, and 20 and a 10 and a
2. 30.
This episode is dedicated to the memory of Timbuktu, my parents' cat, who was mentioned during this episode but who passed away a couple of months later. We didn't really know how old he was because he was a stray, but I think he had a much better life than he would have done had he not met my parents. So I photographed him quite a lot of times over the years that he was with my parents, and he's in a few of my books. So, and although he wasn't my cat, it was always nice to see him when I went back to my parents. So rest in peace, Timbuktu. I shall never forget your big furry paws.